From Stoic wisdoms, what you allow will continue. Nobody sits down and decides to accept a life they wouldn't have chosen. Nobody looks at the full picture of where they'll end up and says yes to it. What they say yes to is today. This one small concession. This one exception that won't happen again. This one thing that isn't worth the argument. And then tomorrow the same. And the day after that. Weeks pass. Months. The distance between where you are and where you started becomes enormous. But at no single point did you take a large step. Every step was small. Every step had a reasonable justification. Every step, taken in isolation, seemed like nothing worth fighting over. That's how standards die, through increments so small that noticing any single one of them feels like overreacting. You can't point to the moment it went wrong because there was no moment. There was only a direction sustained long enough that it became a destination you never agreed to arrive at. This pattern operates in relationships, in work, in how organizations decay and how personal habits calcify. But before it operates in any of those places, it operates somewhere more fundamental. It operates in your relationship with yourself. The first reading of what you allow will continue is almost always about other people. What you tolerate from a boss, a partner, a friend. The disrespect you don't address. The boundary that gets crossed and recrossed because you never said anything the first time. That reading is accurate. It's also the easier one. The harder application is inward. Think about how you speak to yourself when something goes wrong. The voice that shows up when you fail, when you're embarrassed, when you fall short of what you expected. You would never tolerate from another person the way you habitually talk to yourself. You would leave a friendship that spoke to you the way your own inner monologue does on a bad Tuesday afternoon. But because the voice is internal, because there's no external event to react to, no moment of confrontation where you could draw a line, the tone goes unchallenged. It becomes background, and it becomes the way things are. You stop hearing it as something you're allowing and start experiencing it as simply the sound of your own mind. The Stoics had a concept that maps onto this precisely. They called it syncatathesis, the act of ascent. Every impression that arrives in your mind, every reaction, every internal narrative, sits in front of you for a moment before you accept or reject it. The acceptance usually happens so fast it feels automatic. A thought arrives and you're already living inside it before you notice it was a thought at all. Epictetus considered this the hinge on which an entire life turns. He meant the thousands of small assents you give each day to impressions you never examined. You assent to the thought that you're not good enough by letting it pass without challenge. You assent to the habit of checking your phone first thing in the morning by doing it again without deciding to. Each repetition deepens the groove. Each unexamined acceptance makes the next one faster, smoother, less visible. A decision you can see it is a decision you can reverse. An assent you don't notice just happens and happens again, and each repetition makes the next one more automatic. Over time, the accumulated ascents become a structure, a personality, a set of default responses that feel like who you are rather than what you've been allowing. The person who just is self-critical didn't decide to be self-critical. They ascended to self-critical thoughts 10,000 times without examining any of them. The person who just is passive in relationships didn't choose passivity. They ascended to the pattern of yielding each time it felt easier than pushing back, until yielding became characteristic. Now ask yourself honestly, if you could see every thought you assented to today, every internal reaction you let pass unchallenged, would you recognize deliberate choices? Or would you see a long series of defaults you never examine, each one shaping the next, each one slightly narrowing the range of what you expect from yourself? The honest answer, almost always, is that you wouldn't have chosen any of it. Not the comparison habit. Not the way setbacks confirm some narrative of inadequacy you've been carrying for years. You've been allowing it, and allowing is a quieter form of choosing. The external applications follow from this. Once you develop the practice of examining what you're assenting to internally, the tolerance patterns in your external life become easier to see. The relationship dynamic you've been accepting without questioning. The work environment you've adapted to rather than addressed. These situations didn't become what they are through a single failure of boundary. They became what they are the same way your internal patterns did. Through small, unexamined allowances, each one reasonable in isolation, that accumulated into a condition you never would have accepted if it had arrived all at once. You mention something you're genuinely excited about to a friend. They respond with a half nod and change the subject. You register it but say nothing. Next time you have something you care about, you share it with slightly less enthusiasm, already bracing for the dismissal. The time after that, you don't bring it up at all. A year later, you realize you've been editing yourself around this person so thoroughly that they only know the version of you that expects nothing from them. You never decided to stop sharing. You just followed the current of what was received. Someone who speaks up about a cross boundary the first time rarely has to speak up a second time. Someone who lets it slide just this once will let it slide again. The second time is easier because the precedent has been set. The third time barely registers as a slide at all. The standard has moved. What was once below the line is now on it, and eventually the pattern operates below the threshold of conscious choice entirely. It continues because you've stopped recognizing you could do anything else. The place to intervene is the ascent itself, before just this once becomes this is how things are. That moment is brief, easy to miss, but it's the only moment where the drift can be interrupted without requiring the kind of excavation that years of accumulated permission eventually demand. Epictetus told his students something that sounds simple until you try to live it. When an impression arrives in your mind, he said, do not be swept away by it. Stop it. Say to it, wait. Let me see who you are and what you are an impression of. Let me put you to the test. The impression must prove itself before it gets your assent. Most people never make that demand. The impressions walk in freely, take up residence, rearrange the furniture, and eventually start answering the door themselves. By the time the owner notices, the house doesn't look like theirs anymore. Catch three assents. Today, notice three moments where you accept a thought, reaction, or behavior without questioning it. You don't have to change anything yet. Just notice the ascent happening. The thought arrives, you accept it, you live inside it. See how fast the sequence moves. Audit one internal standard. Pick one area where you suspect you've been treating yourself below a standard you'd hold for anyone else. How you talk to yourself after a mistake. How quickly you dismiss your own accomplishments. How readily you excuse habits you know are working against you. Name what you've been allowing. Hold one line. Choose one small thing today that you'd normally let slide. One moment where the old pattern would go unchallenged. Challenge it. Not dramatically. Just refuse the automatic ascent. See what the refusal feels like. See what becomes possible in the gap it creates. The question is not whether your standards have drifted. They have. Everyone's have. The question.